flight caps will end at O'Hare International. The search for Steve Fawcett will continue, and the lawyers circle what's left of Kemper Aviation. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, June 17, 2008. On Monday, FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill joined Chicago Mayor Richard Daley to announce an end to flight caps at O'Hare International Airport. The news was tempered by the additional announcement that O'Hare has been designated an International Air Transport Association Level 2 airport. That means the airlines will be required to continue providing their schedule 6 months in advance. That'll let the FAA aggressively monitor potential congestion and take appropriate actions to prevent congestion from occurring. Sturgill commended the city for recent airport improvements. Quote, "The extension of an existing runway 2 months ahead of schedule, together with completion of a new runway later this year, will allow for an additional 4 to 5 arrivals per hour," unquote. In 2004, arrivals at O'Hare were capped at 88 during most hours of the day to reduce congestion at the world's second busiest airport. When the new runway is finished later this year, between 56 and 70 more arrivals will be added throughout the day. That's expected to result in a modest decrease in the number of delayed flights. When adventurer Steve Fawcett went missing last September, a massive search effort turned up no trace. Now, two private ventures plan to renew the search in rugged mountains which are now clear of snow. The Associated Press reports a team led by Canadian geologist Simon Donato will set out in late July to search a remote area on the east slope of the Sierra Range. Donato will be joined by up to 10 other backcountry athletes, some with search and rescue experience. Donato suggests that ruling out areas from future searches could be almost as useful as a find. Quote, "The best case scenario is that we find him. The worst case scenario, we're making it easier for people in the future to continue this," unquote. In late August, Washington, D.C. investor, alpinist, and longtime Explorers Club member Robert Hyman plans to lead a team of up to 15 climbers, mountain guides, and others with backcountry expertise to check an area just east of the area Donato is working. Of Fawcett's last flight, he theorizes, quote, "He's obviously in an area that you just can't see from overhead, even with satellite imagery and high-altitude mapping and infrared and everything else," unquote. Widow Peggy Fawcett released a statement saying she's not involved in the upcoming activity and has, quote, "no further plans for additional searching," unquote. More legal trouble is now hitting the defunct Kemper Aviation Flight School, formerly based at Lantana Airport in South Florida. The school was closed in March following federal investigations into 3 fatal accidents within 6 months. The family of a student who died in a mid-air collision over the Everglades last year filed a wrongful death civil lawsuit on June 2nd against Kemper Aviation and is considering a similar complaint against the FAA. The Palm Beach Post reports the family of 25-year-old Cleon Alvarez alleges the school was negligent in the December 8th crash between a Piper Twin Comanche and a Cessna 152 flown by Alvarez. Family attorney Hiram Montero also filed the required notice of his intent to sue the FAA. Quote, "The tower obviously had a clear view through its radar that there were 2 aircraft that were in close proximity," unquote. Kathleen Bergen, an FAA spokeswoman, noted only that the FAA does not comment on pending litigation. Cleveland Hopkins International Airport has been awarded an $880,000 grant by the FAA to study noise problems caused by air traffic approaching and departing the airport. The study aims to determine what homes in Cleveland and suburbs qualify for federal funding for soundproofing. The last study in the area was conducted in 1999. The Cleveland Plain Dealer cites city council sources in reporting the review should take 18 months. Sound monitors will be placed throughout communities close to the airport. Cleveland Councilman Martin Keene says residents ramped up their complaints about aircraft noise in 2006 when the FAA changed traffic patterns for some traffic between New York and Chicago at or above 12,000 feet. The FAA said the changes should not have raised ground noise levels significantly. Residents below beg to differ. The previous study resulted in the FAA spending over $48 million to soundproof more than 2,000 homes in the area and buy out 449 others. Coming up next on ANN, Diamond says T-Alert aircraft engines will declare full insolvency July 1st. Delta says 4,000 employees have accepted voluntary separation offers. And searchers off the coast of Maine find the bodies of two missing flyers. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 17th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. In its latest update to customers, Diamond Aircraft said Monday it expects Thielert aircraft engines to declare full insolvency in a German court July 1st. The letter says, quote, "It is expected that Dr. Kebler will continue as the insolvency administrator, and as such we do not expect any change in the current business approach of TAE," unquote. Diamond has accused Kebler of attempting to price gouge existing Thielert owners, including Diamond customers, raising prices fourfold on some parts. Kebler has fired back that Diamond tried to negotiate parts prices below what other customers were paying. Compounding the engine maker's financial woes, EASA has issued an emergency airworthiness directive concerning clutch replacements to TAE 125 Centurion 2.0 power plants. Diamond continues working toward approval of the Austro engine diesel power plant for retrofit to existing Thielert-powered DA-40 TDI and DA-42 aircraft. In the meantime, the plane maker says it will pursue Transport Canada and FAA certification to power DA-42s with a Lycoming IO-360 avgas fueled engine. Last month, Diamond conducted a demonstration which showed why the Thielert diesel generated so much excitement in the first place: fuel efficiency. In Operation Pegasus, a law enforcement configuration DA-42 MPP, equipped with surveillance equipment, took off from Vienna's Neustadt Ost airfield at 7 a.m. local time on May 8th, patrolled the European Union's former external border with Slovenia, Hungary, Slovakia, and the Czech Republic twice, then landed back at the point of departure 13 hours and 4 minutes later. Immediately after landing, the plane was topped off with 63.4 U.S. gallons, or 240 liters, of jet fuel. That works out to just 2.43 U.S. gallons, or 9.2 liters per hour per engine. The plane was flown at 40% power. Perhaps sensing a good opportunity to change careers, or at least employers, 4,000 employees of Delta Airlines have taken the company up on its voluntary employment termination offer. That's twice the number initially forecast, and 1,000 more than the airline reported 2 weeks ago. As ANN reported, Delta announced in March it would offer voluntary buyouts to 30,000 workers in order to trim its workforce to match capacity cuts brought on by grounding 90 of its aircraft. At the time, Delta hoped it would get 2,000 takers. Following Delta's annual meeting on June 3rd, company president Ed Bastian added there may be more incremental cuts to come. Searchers located the bodies of a pilot and his passenger Sunday afternoon, less than 3 hours after Coast Guard crews began combing the waters off the coast of Maine for signs of a missing Cessna Skymaster. The Portland Press-Herald reports Edward and Marianne Mainardi took off from Millinocket Municipal Airport on an IFR flight plan about 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday afternoon, bound for Caldwell, New Jersey. Controllers at Brunswick Naval Air Station lost radar contact with the inline twin about a half hour later. Crews quickly located an oily debris field. Investigators from the FAA and NTSB were on the scene Sunday night. Still ahead, the White House blasts attempts to extend the shuttle program. a pilot makes a safe dead stick landing on a New England interstate, and warbirds will fly near the Grand Canyon this Saturday. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, June 17, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A congressional effort to add another three shuttle flights to the International Space Station before the projected 2010 retirement of the shuttle fleet has drawn what the Houston Chronicle Wednesday called an unusually strongly worded statement of criticism from the Bush administration's Office of Management and Budget. The veto threat came 6 days after the House Science and Technology Committee endorsed legislation that would provide $17.6 billion for NASA in the coming fiscal year, plus an additional $2.9 billion for the three flights. Members of both parties say they're concerned the retirement of the shuttle in 2 years will leave the U.S. overly dependent on the Russian Soyuz program for transportation to the International Space Station during the 5-year gap until the next generation of American space vehicles is ready. The White House statement counters, quote, the NASA administrator's authority to make the final determination on shuttle flights based on safety considerations must be preserved, unquote. The statement accuses lawmakers of micromanaging space agency operations. Several Republican members of the Texas congressional delegation indicated they'll break with the president and side with Democrats to fight for increased NASA funding. The shuttle program is an important part of the economy of the Houston area. Motorists on I-89 outside Lebanon, New Hampshire, saw a novel sight over the weekend. An orange and black 1940 Waco UPF-7, owned by Bud Bushway of Stratford, Vermont, sat in the breakdown lane between exits 19 and 20 Saturday morning. Bud and his passenger, Mary Dixon, also of Stratford, were on their way home from an EAA fly-in pancake breakfast in Rutland, Vermont, when the engine lost power. Bushway said it happened fast and he flew on instinct. Quote, I didn't see much of anything. I was trying to fly that airplane. Unquote. He added he thought about trying to glide to a different runway at Lebanon, but decided it would be outside his gliding range. Both occupants and the plane escaped unhurt. Mary said later, quote, I'm thankful for Bud. If anybody could get it down, it was him, unquote. Actually, Mary, we haven't left one up there yet. If World War II-era aircraft are your passion and you're within range, the High Country Warbirds fly-in happens this Saturday at Valley Airport, 25 miles south of Grand Canyon National Park in Arizona. The Plains of Fame Air Museum of Chino, California, will display warbirds and other classic aircraft from its collection, along with a selection of vintage automobiles. This year's fly-in will also coincide with the inaugural yearly membership meeting of the P-38 National Association, a gathering of World War II U.S. Army Air Corps personnel who operated the Lockheed P-38 Lightning fighter in combat against the Axis forces. The roster of surviving World War II veterans is declining rapidly, and the association will be considering a direction for its future at this meeting. Gates will be open to the public from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., visitors will get to see warbirds fly and even get orientation flights, if you want, throughout the day. More importantly, you'll get an increasingly rare chance to talk with World War II combat veterans. Don't forget to say thank you while you still can. Finally, the men who flew the planes aren't the only veterans of World War II leaving us. Between 1941 and 1945, young pilots of the U.S. Army Air Corps regularly flew over America's heartland in Kansas and Nebraska from a network of bases scattered around those states, training to fly aircraft which included the Boeing B-29 Superfortress. 60 years later, as the greatest generation in communities such as Pratt and Great Bend, Kansas pass on, the Wichita Eagle reports the massive hangars built to house those aircraft they trained in are also endangered by their age. Are endangered by their age, Mother Nature, and pressure from developers. Milt Martin, a World War II history buff from Pratt, notes the bases, quote, changed these communities forever. I can't believe there isn't a concerted effort to save these. It's just so important to the whole area, unquote. The entrance to Pratt Industrial Airport is guarded by three pedestal-mounted aircraft, an F-4 Phantom, a Cobra attack helicopter, and a T-38 Talon. One of two period hangars used to house B-29s on the site remains in use, but the other is scheduled for demolition. At Great Bend, only one hangar remains in use. In March, another World War II-era hangar was demolished after being damaged by a tornado in 2005. A third damaged hangar remains vacant, with an uncertain future. Both damaged hangars had sat empty for about 30 years before that twister. Preservationists are wishing they'd started earlier, before renovation costs got out of hand. The cost to salvage the hangar scheduled for demolition in Pratt was recently estimated at about $1.5 million. Some of the former airfields in the region also have water towers, Norden bombsite vaults, and parachute training towers historians would like to see saved. If your community has one of these artifacts of the war that saved the world, make it a point to visit while you still can. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, why insurance for experimental rotorcraft costs so much, when it's available at all, and what can be done about it. My guest is Rick Lindsay, helicopter pilot and president and CEO of Prime Insurance. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.